Welcome to episode number 44 of the Dan Time Podcast, a weekly run inside and occasionally outside of the Daniverse, bringing you a new guest every Sunday. Sometimes it's a songwriter or musician, sometimes an athlete, a business owner, a performer, or other creative. This past Thursday, on the back end of my visit to Cincinnati, Ohio, I was able to sit down with Danny Laverde, drummer for the Jeff Tate Band, as well as Mark Daly and the Ravens. Jeff Tate, of course, the multi-platinum, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter and former lead singer of one of the most influential rock bands of all time, Queensryche. Having sold north of 20 million records worldwide, Queensryche are regarded as one of the big three of the progressive metal genre, along with Dream Theater and Fate's Warning. Danny has toured all across North America and around the world with Jeff Tate, performing the following albums in their entireties: Rage for Order, Empire, and Operation Mindcrime. Operation Mindcrime is widely considered one of heavy metal's all-time best concept records. The 1990 album Empire included the cross-genre smash single Silent Lucidity. Danny and I sat down at a corner table at the Hampton Inn, downtown Cincinnati. This is a rare break in touring for Danny, and as you'll hear, he's still trying to adjust to not being on that constant daily tour schedule. You can catch the video version of this interview uncut on the Dan Time YouTube channel at Dan Time Pod. Follow me on Instagram with the same handle. On Facebook, search Dan Time Podcast. And email the show at dantimepod@gmail.com. Danny is a Colombian-American drummer, born in Los Angeles and raised in Cincinnati. He started playing drums when he was 8 years old and has played in a number of local bands prior to performing with Jeff Tate. He is experienced in rock, prog metal, jazz fusion, and Afro-Cuban. Danny has been featured as an up-and-coming drummer in Modern Drummer magazine. On this episode, Danny shares the story of how he was asked to play with Jeff. We talk about life on the road, the energy of the crowds, his drumming style and setup, influences, and you get some real insight into how Danny goes about his business. He's a big presence. When he walks into the room, you know right away you're talking to somebody who's been places and has overcome obstacles to get where he's going. Follow Danny Laverde on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, Danny Laverde Drums. That's L-A-V-E-R-D-E. He's back out on the road this fall with Mark Daly supporting Richie Kotzen. Good chance they'll be coming to a city near you. Want to give a big thanks to Boyd Cruz with Jeff Tate Touring Operations for making this interview possible. Okay, let's get to the conversation. It is Danny Laverde time. Danny Laverde, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Dan?
Pretty good. I'm glad that we're finally sitting here together. First of all, I got to ask, so you're a professional drummer.
Yes.
Let's just say professional musician, touring musician. I want to clarify that because some people are musicians, but they don't get out there and travel the world. They maybe would like to, but is it true? Are you most at home when you're on the road and in motion?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about the difference between just professional and touring. The difference is that you don't have a family hardly ever. It's just like, you might as well not. Dude, I'm gone 8 months out of the year. Like, you're right. That is my home. My home is literally that coffin on a bus. So it's like, yeah. So, yeah.
Now, but do you make that space your own, right? I mean, do you have little snacks that you tuck into cubby holes and everything that you like to have?
It's funny, my bandmates actually call my bunk Dannyland. it's just I have a bunch of water bottles, you know, snacks, tissues, everything like that I could possibly need just to make it like my little hibernation chamber and stuff. I'll watch movies in there, get away from people. It's like, some people say it's claustrophobic, but I don't think it is at all. I like the small space.
What are your gaps like between, so you've been on the road a lot,
yeah.
2022, 2023, we'll talk about prior to that, but are you usually home for like a few weeks and then back out?
Yeah, man, that just depends on our schedule. It's one thing about being a touring musician is that it's not necessarily stable in the sense of your schedule. It fluctuates all the time. And, you know, how often do you play and where you go as well. This summer actually is the longest I've been home in years. I think in total I'll be home for about 3.5 or 4 months, something like that. So, which is kind of exciting but weird at the same time. I don't know how to explain it. So trying to wrap my head around that one.
Yeah, when a tour ends and it's like the next Tuesday or the Wednesday and you're just sitting at home and you're like, I mean, do you think to yourself, what did I used to do before or what was I doing 8 months ago? What would I usually
be? Yeah, it's just, you know, I don't know. My buddy Dave Parks, who's another touring drummer, he plays for the Bellamy Brothers and stuff. He described it best, you know, when you get home and you're in bed, it's really anxiety inducing. Because you wake up the next morning and you're like, oh my gosh, like where's what time's loading? Am I late? Do I need to get up? And so now you have a minor panic attack, but then it's all good. After like a couple weeks, you're like, okay, wait, no, I can actually be like lazy and not like a contributing member of society, just dirty, you know?
Yeah, man, I always wonder about being on the road and, you know, you had the show, then you had the after show. And some people go nuts and, you know, are trying to get 3 hours of sleep and party till 4 a.m. Do you have to be pretty careful to say, all right, guys, I'll see it. I'm checking out of this.
Well, it's I feel like it's kind of easy for us in our camp. I don't know how it is for everybody else, but personally for me, like not a lot of us like party too much. Some of us will a little bit, but we're all a bunch of nerds. And so usually after a show, some of us will stay up for a little bit, but most of us will just kind of go to sleep. Yeah. Stuff. Yeah, it's just, again, especially with us when we'll usually play 6 shows in a row before we get a day off. And sometimes those days off are just travel days instead of just kind of sleeping in a hotel, you know?
Right.
So it's like we need the sleep. And we need the rest and recovery.
So, Danny, I probably will bounce around in the conversation a little bit, but you've just gotten off the road with Jeff Tate performing, I mean, songs that have... He sold something over 20 million records in his career. Is that correct?
Sounds right to me. I mean, a few of them have gone platinum alone. Biggest ones being Empire and OMC, you know? So it's like, that sounds about right. 20 million, something like that.
And you've played sets like the 35th anniversary of Operation Mindcrime, 30th. Have you already done that one of Empire?
Yeah. Rage for Order and Empire was my first tour, actually. It was a dual record headline show that we were doing, yeah.
The guys that you're on stage with surrounding Jeff, these are guys that you're familiar with, right? You've been playing with Kieran Robertson,
yeah.
James Brown. These are guys from around the world. Kieran from Scotland,
yeah.
James from Ireland, Alex Hart.
Yeah, Alex Hart.
Jack Ross on bass.
Yeah.
Bruno Sá. Keyboards.
Yeah, Bruno Safieto from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. So it's really cool. So Jeff typically has a rotating line of musicians around. Some guys go for a little bit and then come back. Sometimes they leave off and go do their own thing. Some stay for like years and years and years. Kieran actually being an example. I mean, he was with Jeff for 6 years. Actually, now he's playing guitar for Faster Pussycat. So he's doing that right now. The current lineup that we got, it's me, it's Jack on bass. James Brown is from Ireland. And then we got a Frenchman from Metz. His name's Omri Altmaier. And then we got a guy from Rome named Dario Parente. So right now it's a six-piece band right now. And it's really, really, really cool, yeah.
And from your perspective on the drum riser and playing like the most recent set, these songs are really emotionally driven. You get a very interesting perspective where you can look out in the crowd and you're getting into like the title track Empire,
yeah,
or Breaking the Silence, and you see the looks on people's faces. How cool is that?
Well, it's different every night, and not obviously everybody loves it, right? I mean, Empire, obviously one of the main tracks, but I always felt it kind of depends on where you put it in the set too. Like this last tour that we did, we opened up with Empire. Actually, we actually changed the intro to where it's like a whole big like track and instrumental like intro thing. We all kind of come out, lead guitars come out and play the main line to it and stuff, and that's a whole different reaction and response to, let's say, if we were to play it like doing the whole Empire record and it's like in the middle of the set, you know. It's, and you know, demographic matters too. It's whole different thing. It's just, but yeah, I mean, 99% of the time, everybody's like, Empire, fuck yeah. So yeah, but it's really cool. Yeah, it's really, really nice.
I was watching where Jeff was about to introduce one of the biggest hits, and he said maybe one guy, or he relayed a story where someone said, hey man, this song helped save my life. This song is so special to me. Silence in Tennessee.
Silence in Tennessee. It happened, I think, a couple years ago, if that. You know, what he says on stage is absolutely true. It's like a guy literally came up to him, said that he had all the records, but only had like 3 or 4. And he didn't know what he's been doing since 91. And so he loved the music. He was a cool guy, but he just didn't really know the material as much as he thought he did. It was cool, though.
I felt like that was like something even maybe the guy could get a laugh out of, like, wow, I've been calling it Silence in Tennessee for so long.
It does, but how many of us have actually done that? I mean, like, seriously, I hardly remember people's names. Like, it's bad, bro. It sucks. It sucks. Like, because I meet people all the time. And so I don't know. It's embarrassingly bad, actually. I actually don't even know if I want to get into that, but just know that.
Hey, at least you can remember my name pretty well.
Yeah, but like that, yeah, true. Yeah. Yeah, I can.
Speaking of that, let's get into some Dan Time stuff. I don't know if this is boring for people or not. I don't ask it all the time, but so none of us were usually, sometimes, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see birth certificates, but I was not born Dan. You weren't born Danny. Usually starts with Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel was my given name. Daniel Christopher Laverde, the most white suburban, like, Christian name. Well,
I'm Daniel Carter.
Daniel, what's your last name?
It's a tongue twister. I don't know what they were thinking. Daniel Carter McArdle.
Daniel Carter McArdle. Yeah, okay, that beats me. That beats me. Oh, yeah.
But Carter's a family name. You think it's like the...
That's true, yeah. My dad's from Colombia, so like Laverde. I mean, the green one, so like at least that's ethnic. So, yeah. But Daniel Christopher, that's from the Bible and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like whatever. I don't know.
So did Danny come along when you're like in fifth grade or eighth grade or something?
I kind of went through a slew of phases, went between Daniel, Dan, and Danny. Yeah, I don't know. It's Danny. Danny always just kind of stuck with me. I don't know. Danny just rung with me.
Yeah.
I like it. I have guests that don't like Danny. I like it. I would not be offended if that was what I was going by.
But you're Dan. You like
and
Dan.
I picked Dan like when I was 15 because I have an older brother, Robert, who started going by Rob. And so I was like, well, that's cool. I'm going to shorten mine to Dan. So that's actually how it started. But now I'm like, well, maybe I missed out on something. But of course, you usually get a lot of nicknames if you are. You get Dan the Man, you get all that stuff. Daniel, the Elton John song.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've had other nicknames too, which I don't know if would be appropriate saying on this podcast, but yeah, I've had other nicknames too that had nothing to do with Dan, so.
Okay, so another cool thing, and I thought that this might have been, you would think it would be in reverse, but so your mom was like the metalhead, like Metallica, GNR,
yeah.
And your dad was more, is this correct, like more hip-hop, R&B? There's another genre that...
Because of his Colombian background, he was into like a bunch of Afro-Cuban stuff, like mainly I think like Tito Puente and everything like that. Yeah,
that's some really cool exposure. You're getting like opposite ends of the spectrum as a young kid. Are they playing this stuff in the car?
Dude, you have no idea. Especially looking back at it now, I'm so fortunate to have that. It is really, really cool. They were playing a lot of that in the background. My dad actually was mainly playing. It was some Afro-Cuban stuff. But it was also mainly like Outkast and Ludacris. And my mom would actually get pissed off at my dad because of, you know, what the lyrics were talking about. And it's like, yeah, it's like drugs. It's like, yeah, yeah, stuff like that. It's like, I'm from the hood. Yeah, stuff, the culture, you know, like what they talk about in some of those lyrics. And so, but I liked it. It stuck with me. I don't know if that had, you know, that shaped me into who I am. But hopefully it did because, you know, it's helped me a lot with my playing, I feel like, as well, and what I'm into.
Speaking of your playing, Dan, so I've said this before on the show, that I play drums, but I want to be clear, I don't play. I'm not actively playing. I would like to be playing a lot more, but when I watch you play, I really appreciate your style. You're not trying to just destroy that kit. You have a real finesse, and I feel I like to play more with my wrists.
Yeah.
And so I like that you have a real controlled approach. You're trying to serve the song. And you're not clamoring for the spotlight. You're just, so talk about that a little bit, like your playing style.
Well, I mean, well, like I said, I had a bunch of musical influences, you know, growing up and stuff. And especially when I was getting into high school and out of it as well, was when I started transitioning over to like the jazz fusion, more hip hop and prog metal stuff. But yeah, the wrist thing and that kind of stuff, that really, it came mainly from two places. One was when I transitioned over to the electric kit when we play in the camp, because the rims are rubber and, you know, they're hard and stuff, but they don't absorb that much shock because they're not super flexible. A lot of that shock kind of goes back into your wrist. So if you don't have good technique, your hands are going to suffer. You're going to physically suffer overall. So it's unforgiving when it comes to that. So I had to really dial that in. And two was just from watching drummers that I really, really liked. Yeah, dude, I remember there was this band that I'm still really into. They're called the Mars Volta. And I remember I was 14 years old, and it was the Yahoo.com live sessions, and they were playing this song called Tetragrammaton. And the drummer there was a guy named Thomas Pridgen. Now, if you guys don't know who Thomas Pridgen, you guys got to look him up, do your homework, because he, to me, is one of the GOATs. Thomas was for whatever reason, his hands looked like spaghetti. He looked like the spaghetti monster, right? And everything like that. But everything, to your point, it was super controlled. And he was hitting hard. And it was accurate. And he was improvising throughout all these hits and everything like that. But he was just, it was not like nothing I had ever seen before. And I was like, I want to play like that. So that's why I try to be like as loose and controlled as I possibly can like that. I don't know if I'm there, but I try to be.
And you're playing with two mounted toms, a floor tom. Is it a five-piece kit?
Yeah,
with
standard five-piece.
Two crash, ride cymbal, hi-hat.
Standard five-piece. Yep. And I think we'll probably add onto the kit later as the tours go on and stuff. We plan on it. But yeah, right now it's a standard five-piece.
I love it. I mean, I've sat down at bigger kits, you know, where you got a splash cymbal, you got a China cymbal. Do you need all that? I mean, some of the song, like what you're playing, doesn't call for.
I mean, like you said, it depends on the song and what it calls for. Like I said, I mean, we'll want to add more to the kit anyways. One, because, you know, we don't have a China on our kit yet, all the time at least. And some, you know, we want to just add more tones, add more colors to the songs and everything. But yeah, we don't always need it. You know, the song doesn't always call for it. And, you know, just depends on the situation.
And what type of kit are you playing, or what brand?
Yeah, it's a Roland TD-50X is the brain module, and the drums themselves are the VAD-706, Roland's flagship stuff.
And what sticks do you like?
Sticks? Right now I'm playing with the Vader Westsides. Just under 5B in width, 16 inches, I think, in length. It's just teardrop tip. It's just super ergonomical for me.
And you have different heads on the snare and toms?
Snare and toms. Well, it depends on the kit. The kit that I use for Jeff, it's all the stock Remo and Roland heads that we have on there. Yeah, yeah. However, the front head, actually, I'm really happy about the front kick drum head, the Rezo head, because I was able to get that designed off the backdrop that we use and stuff like that. I'm really happy about that. I'm proud about that because it came out good.
Nice.
Yeah, so yeah. So I'll take credit for that one.
Going back to some influences, so this is white, right out of Queensryche, Scott Rockenfield. How old were you when you first started listening to like Operation Mindcrime?
Well, man, I'll tell you this, because my Queensryche journey and Jeff Tate journey didn't start until actually much later. You know what I mean? Like, I was 15 when I had heard Queen of the Reich, and my mom introduced me to them. I was showing her another band. I was like, yeah, man, this guy sings opera metal vocals and stuff. She's like, hold my beer. And I mean that not literally, because we were driving. That's illegal. So, but man, I only really started listening to a lot of their catalog when I actually joined the Tate camp when I was 20. And so that's when I first really started hearing it, because I had to learn it. So, yeah.
Now, talking about opportunity, so you're playing with Mark Daly. Yeah. You're still playing with Mark.
Yeah.
How does Jeff approach you? Like, how does this connection?
Well, I mean, it actually had nothing to do with Mark. I was playing with Mark because he saw me play with Jeff, and because they're so close friends and they were touring together. Mark had asked me to play with his group and hang with them, but I was already playing with Jeff. Yeah, now I didn't start playing with Jeff until, like I said, I was 20 years old, and, you know, in Cincinnati we have a good music scene and everything like that. And so a lot of people know each other. And so actually Jeff's guitarist at the time, a guy named Scott Motton, came over here, moved out to Cincinnati. We have a bunch of mutual friends out here. And so I was out at a jam session with him at a local bar that was open at the time, and we just started playing together. And one thing that led to another, he saw me play with another touring group I was with at the time, actually opening up for Queensryche, the Queensryche camp, which was really funny. I did some session work with him, and then he eventually moved back to Northern California. You know, it was one of those things where he's like, you know, I'll put your name in the hat, you know, learn Mindcrime or whatever. And I learned half of it. Like, I didn't know if he was going to call me or whatever or anything like that. I was like, oh, thanks, bro. I appreciate it. Now, 2020 comes up, and he's like, hey, yo, bro, you got a passport? Look, we need a drummer last minute. Health issues came up with our other ones. Do you know these two records? Not Mindcrime. Like I told you, you know these two records. I'm like, no. Have you heard of them at all? No. It's like maybe one or two songs off of each. He's like, can you learn it? You got like a week. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And so 7 hours later, I got that call. I flew out to Seattle and I had a week to learn two records of material. Eighth day, we flew out to Sweden for our first show, and I've been with them ever since.
Oh, man. Wow. These songs, like, so when you've got to prepare like that, how many hours, how much of the day are you just hammering out just one song?
You ever been to, you ever look up any, like, Navy SEAL, like, documentaries of, like, Hell Week? It's that. Well, so.
You're on the clock.
Yes, I mean, I would schedule out my day and just kind of break it up. You know, I'd get up. And I'd be rehearsing with the guys and stuff, and then I would take the evening and night to learn maybe three songs and stuff like that. And on top of that, actually, we had to do some live rehearsals in front of fans because during that time in the Pacific Northwest region, Jeff was doing something called backstage pass travel, right? It's where fans pay to go on vacation essentially with Jeff, and he shows them around the whatever areas around the world he's going to. So this is one of those things. And so that's why we had to do some live rehearsals. So it's kind of like trial by fire in that sense. So that's how I separate my days. I just throughout the night, learn, grind, eat, sleep when I can, get up, hang out with the guys for a little bit, rehearse with them, literally in Jeff's basement, and then do the live rehearsals at a bar down the street with some fans, and then start the process all over again. Yeah.
Gosh, Danny, I mean, there's some people that would just crumble. I mean, they would be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know. Do you got to believe in yourself to be in this position, right? Yeah. Are there ever periods of self-doubt?
Well, in that situation, for an example, I mean, I've always wanted to do this. It was never really a plan B for me. So I always figured, you know, I would make time to learn these songs one way or another. I was able to, you know, it's a kind of do or die. I mean, I wasn't going to get sent home. I didn't want to be sent home. And so, I mean, by the time that week was done, I was able to get through the entire show and be fine with it. Accurately, note for note, I'd say 80-85% of the way there. So when I would get to the hotels and, you know, any free time that I could, that I didn't really need the rest, like where I was recovered, I would spend time learning the songs off of suitcases, pillows, and stuff like that, making my own makeshift drum kits. So I would spend time perfecting it as much as I could then. Yeah. So I would always make time for something, and just I didn't want to be sent home. I was like, this is what I want to do, so I'll make it work.
Would like Jeff himself ever come up to you after those first one or two or three shows and say, hey man, you really killed it on that?
Well, it was funny because I first met him and at that, like, literally the first day. And, you know, love Jeff to death. Like, I could go on and say so many great things about him, you know? Super introverted guy. He keeps to himself, right? And so I meet him. I'm like, hey, Jeff, my name's Danny. He's like, oh, hey, Danny, nice to meet you. Just walks past me. And he's just, you know, he keeps to himself. He'll talk to fans, but he just kind of keeps to himself. I'm like, I don't know if this guy likes me or not. I'm not that good at reading people yet, and so I'm kind of scared. Man, I don't know. It's like he doesn't know me, though. So yeah, I mean, the first live rehearsal comes up, and we play Surgical Strike off of the Rage for Order record, and he's like, oh, not bad, Danny. I'm like, oh my god, thank you, yes. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And they've kept me this long, so I don't think they dislike me, so that's good.
Yeah, you must be doing something right. Yeah. Do you have like a particular favorite song, like when it's coming up in the set? Do you like when you're about to play NM156 or even like Another Rainy Night? Do you have a favorite?
I really like The Mission off of Mindcrime. That one really, really sticks out to me. It's like you were saying, the songs are very emotionally captivating. And to me, I think that's the most dramatic song out of anything he plays. It makes you feel powerful when you play it, I think. So, yeah.
Danny, real quick, let's talk a little bit about Mark Daly. Some new music coming out, the Devil's Arms LP in August 9th.
Yes.
And some singles that are already out there, folks. If you're on Spotify, Apple Music, check it out. There's, I think, Pieces, Gotta Run, I Wanna... these are videos, I'm sorry. Videos for Pieces, Gotta Run, and...
I Wanna Be More, I think, is I Wanna Be More, I think, is the last one. I think that's the first one that we released, and then it was Pieces and stuff like that. But yeah, off the new LP, yeah, it's been mainly those two. And yeah, man, I mean, that LP is going to be released soon. And honestly, yeah, I mean, this tour that we're doing that's upcoming, I'm really excited about too. You know, we're probably going to be playing new music on that tour as well. We're going back into the studio in July, recording a new record for that, and I'm super excited about that. So yeah, it's going to be a good time.
And you've opened for Mr. Big. You've played some shows with Vixen, is that right?
Yeah, we've done jam sessions with them and stuff. Mainly it's just, okay, so I'll explain it like this. Like I said, Cincinnati has a good music scene and everything like that, very close-knit and stuff. So usually when I'm home, we have this bar off of Montgomery called The Bell and the Bear. Now, it's not, most of you think, you know, oh, bar, whatever. It's like, nah. This is like the Viper Room or the whiskey of, like, it's like a hidden gem in Cincinnati, right? So we've actually had a couple of national acts come out to this place, smaller place, very intimate, fits 200 or 300 people in there. But yeah, we'll have Vixen come out. We've had Lita Ford come out. We've had Kip Winger come out and everything like that.
Man, I love that Winger album that was released. Yeah. I think maybe it was 2022 or 23, yeah. 7.
And so, like, Mark hasn't jammed with Vixen, but we've had people like Vixen and Britt Lightning and Julia Lodge come out. And I hope I pronounced your last name right, Julia. I'm sorry if I haven't. But that's what that was about.
But you've been all over the world. Most recently, I guess you came back from a show in Stockholm. Is that what wrapped up the most recent tour?
Yes, I believe so. Yes, Stockholm, Sweden.
And then looking ahead to the fall, you've got dates with both Jeff. Like, you're in Alaska, right?
Yeah, so Alaska, I'll be doing late July. And that's the September dates with Jeff. Actually, I think they've got to fill in for me on that one because I'm doing the Mark dates since we're direct supporting for Richie. And then I said Richie Kotzen, right? I said Richie Kotzen. I just want to make sure I said that. And so I think, they'll be having a fill-in for me during those days with Jeff, and then I'll be going back out with him after that tour's done, yeah.
Man, exciting stuff, Danny. How about, all right, so here's some general questions, I guess. Well, I already had playing songs with deep emotional meaning to people. Do you see people with that? Can you see tears running down cheeks? Like, can you see that from the drum riser on any of those emotional songs, whether it's with Mark or?
If I'm not too far back and the lighting is good in front of me, I can see people's reactions. in all seriousness, no. Yeah, I mean, different songs hit people in different ways and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, you'll have songs like Silent Lucidity, I know, is a big one that touches people. I've seen people react differently to it. Yeah, some cry, some sing along. A couple people don't even know what it is, which I don't know how, which is weird. But yeah, 99% of the time it's like crying, cheering, stuff like that.
What's a genre or an artist that you really like that people wouldn't expect, maybe? Like, anybody that you're listening to when you're on the road, do you have the AirPods in when you're traveling? Yeah. Do you listen to?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I like jazz fusion and stuff. So, like, I like Herbie Hancock. Mm-hmm. Chick Corea is a, there's a piano player that I really like now called Robert Glasper. And so I listen to some Art Blakey as well. A lot of jazz. EDM as well. There's an artist I like called Machine Drum. Yeah, there's a bunch of different artists that I like. I don't know. I don't know really how to answer that one. So much I like.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this is my first time in Cincinnati. I've been here for a few days here. Got to leave tomorrow.
What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, just the little bit that I've seen, but I can't wait to come back. And you grew up here?
Yeah, dude, I've been here for most of my life. Originally, I was born in Southern California, Long Beach, but I've been here since I was six. First grade to 12th grade, I've been to school here. I've lived here. I might as well have been born here.
Danny, I've had a lot of fun talking to you today. I feel like I need to pop out a couple of little wacky questions. I don't know. All right, so people that, like me, that we get up, we go to work, and we do that whole rigmarole, and we're in our kitchen in the morning. We're making our cereal, and we're making some eggs. Like, what do you eat in the morning when you're on the road? And, like, do you wake up and you want to have a biscuit, but you guys don't? I mean, all you have is, like, something in a box, like a Pop-Tart?
No, I mean, we'll have kid. No. That would actually be the worst thing ever. Well, I mean, it is true that you don't always get a choice in like food intake and stuff. But no, typically we'll have like catering and stuff. We'll have sandwich meats, pastries and stuff like that, fruits, vegetables. So it's not the worst thing in the world. Sometimes you'll have to do like McDonald's and stuff if like, you know, if you're having to drive so much, sometimes you'll have to do fast food. But nah, for the most part, it's not the worst thing. So yeah, breakfast.
And Danny, going back to the first part of the episode, this is my second in-person interview in a row. Last week's guest, 6'8". I'm 6'5". You're really tall. Are you 6'5"?
No, I'm 6'3". That's like a ladder. That's like 6'8". What kind of Dan is 6'8"? I feel jealous. I feel like I wasn't blessed gene-wise. Yeah, thanks, Dad. So
I look at it like, for me, I'm tall enough, okay? Because like, it's enough of a thing where people, I really don't mind. Like, you probably get asked a lot, like, how tall are you? Or you're used to being the tall guy in the pictures. Like, it doesn't bother me anymore, but like, I don't need another few inches.
No, I'm fine. It's whatever. I'm happy with my height too, yeah.
All right, Danny, this has been awesome. Can't wait to follow your music and your upcoming tours. Tell people where they can, we started to talk about what's next, the Alaska show, but who are you going out on the road with when this fall?
This fall? Okay, so starting September 13th, I'll be playing with Mark Daly and the Ravens, and we are direct supporting for Richie Kotzen up until early November, all throughout the United States.
Yeah. And people want to follow you on social media or anything you want to promote?
Yes, at Danny LaVerde Drums on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And you can also find all the tour dates there or on Mark Daly Music's Instagram and all of his social media platforms, and any of Jeff Tate's upcoming tours on his website at jefftate.com or on any of his social media as well.
I got to ask you one other question, and this is something I don't know that I would ask anybody else. What are your thoughts on, so I like, speaking of Winger and some of these bands that released albums in the mid-90s, it didn't sell a lot, they weren't really promoted. Do you like any of those 94, 1995 releases from like A Warrant, or like, I like Ultraphobic. I like Native Tongue by Poison. And they're really good records. They just kind of slipped off. They didn't get...
That period for me, I do like that period, but actually throughout that period, I was not listening to that kind of music. The music I was listening to was, you know, besides hip-hop, it was also a lot of nu metal. I was one of those kids. Yeah. So I was like, you know, like Korn, you know, Slipknot, Cold Chamber and stuff like that. Yeah. Like dirty stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so... Yeah, just angry stuff. Yeah,
I hear you. I mean, there's still some of those bands that are, they've aged well. Like, I would say Deftones is one that kind of followed over the years.
Well, dude, Slipknot, they have their own like horror circus for a festival that they travel around with all the time. It's super successful. It's insane. They're like one of those bands now. No, I think Metallica has one. I think Ozfest, I don't think is still going on, is it?
I went to like the 99 Ozfest, 2000, around that period. It was pretty fun back then. Metallica's got that Orion Festival.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, I think that's still going on. I don't know if it is.
Well, I hope I get a chance to see you perform live. Don't know when it'll be. I always talk to musicians and say, hey, Pensacola, Vinyl Music Hall, if it makes sense with the people that make those decisions, would love to see you. And if I go travel too, because I know you play in the Southeast and make some runs to the Southeast. But man, I've so enjoyed talking to you today, Danny. And thanks for being here on Dan Time.
Thank you for having me.
You guys have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Later, guys.
All right. If you enjoy that episode with Danny LaVerde and you're enjoying the Dan Time podcast, take a minute and add a 5-star review on whichever platform you're listening. I appreciate you as a listener.
What's that?
I want
it. Big water!
All right. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.